Bible, page 1215 might be a good place to look. 1215. And I'm reading from verse 13 of James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Thanks be to God for his word. Once heard a preacher talking about an experience of he'd had when he was a relatively young boy, about 9 or 10. I mean, this is, I suppose, late 1940s, so obviously he'd be a very old man now. He was taken to the Farnborough Air Show by his uncle. And Farnborough, of course, was the, and still is, it's the show which happens every couple of years, and it's about showing off the world's new aircraft and selling them and so on. But there was something different, something that most people had never seen at this particular air show. One of the planes that they were going to see was called the Gloucester Meteor. And the Gloucester Meteor was the first British jet plane. It was a military plane. It was not a big plane. It wasn't an airliner. But this boy was so excited, and he said to his uncle, he said, on the way there, he said, we're going to see the meteor, we're going to see the meteor. And in the end, uncle said, well, what's so special about this Gloucester meteor then? And he said, haven't you heard? It's the first aeroplane without propellers. And his uncle said, don't be stupid. You can't have a plane without propellers to blow the wind over the wings. Anyway, came the point where the Gloucester Meteor flew low over the runway, and Uncle had to say to his nephew, you know your stuff. Now, of course, strictly speaking, of course, Uncle was right, because in every jet engine there is a propeller, really, with so many propeller shafts on it that it needs to be housed to be safe. But we know what meant. But there was a classic example, said that preacher. He said, I had knowledge But the one with all the wisdom there was my uncle, who was willing to let me believe I was right, but who got me there, cared for me, got me home, was throughout my teenage years an advisor, a helper, an encouragement, someone who nurtured me, somebody who was there for me. And I just remember that illustration of how we know what we mean by knowledge, which is having the information, but we also know what we mean, I think, by wisdom, which is perhaps having the proper ability to use the knowledge. It's very interesting how in 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul is talking about gifts of the Spirit, he says, to come is given, to some is given the gift of wise utterance. It's not just the ability to speak. It's not just the ability to speak God's word. It's the ability to know when is the right time and right place to speak God's word. The spiritual gift of wisdom, you notice how in that passage from Proverbs, wisdom is referred to as she. Because in the original language of the word for wisdom is a female word, as opposed to, you know all about this, if you've studied languages, you know about females, or, you know, masculine, feminine and neuter, and this is a feminine, so wisdom gets called she. And in 1 Corinthians 12, this wisdom is about speaking the life of God into a specific situation with great understanding and a right perspective, with the goal of guiding others towards a life of holiness and worship and discipleship. And the true beauty and fruit of wisdom are things that the writer of the Proverbs wants us to understand. Like the psalmist, who in Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. A life of wisdom ultimately results in a life lived for God. And so James says, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, if you study carefully, and I remember this from an essay I did umpteen years ago when I was training for ministry, on the connection between the wisdom of the Old Testament and as referred to in the Old Testament and Apocrypha, and the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And there is good cause, as you read in the original languages, for saying that often what wisdom talks about in the Old Testament is what is talked about in terms of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. It's just that that revelation had not yet been received. That understanding of the Holy Spirit had not yet been received. But that this wisdom was the indwelling of God. with the personality and knowledge of God in the human heart. Well, that gets very close to what we're wanting to talk about when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, Paul connects this very closely with the core of the gospel at the beginning of 1 Corinthians when he talks about the highest wisdom being found in the cross of Christ, which looks like absolute folly to the perishing, he says, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And the Holy Spirit calls us to seek wisdom. What does wisdom truly mean for us? But I think this passage in Proverbs answers that question. True, some people have a specific gift of wisdom. They just have that ability to put their finger on it. They just, after prayer and reading the scripture, they look at a situation, they say, you know, and everybody says, oh, yes. Why didn't I think of that? Answer, because the rest of us haven't got that spirit, gift of wisdom which that person has. The rest of us contribute in other ways to the fellowship. But at the heart of wisdom is simply this: knowing to trust in the Lord with all our heart, leaning not on our own understanding, but acknowledging Him in all our ways. For He is the one who is making a straight path for us. That doesn't mean that the straight path does not sometimes go up steeply and down equally steeply. It doesn't mean that it will always be on the mountaintop where there's a good view and that we will never go down into the valley. But it means when we follow Christ our Saviour, there is no wiser course we can take. This morning we were beginning to look at the book of Revelation and seeing how difficult life can be for the Christian disciple. But if we trust Christ to lead us through to the end, He leads us through to the place of victory. We only have to look around us in our world today to realize how much foolishness that there is. So, at the moment, we have politicians saying, on the one hand, I would never push the red button, and on the other hand, saying, I'd be quite prepared to push the red button if it came to it. I'm not sure which I find the most comforting. Because my real concern is, are they operating with wisdom? And to the best of my knowledge, they're not doing it from a place where they're in close fellowship with Jesus. And the one thing that God's people are called to be is in fellowship with Him, walking with Him. And we do sometimes, things come along and we were walking right behind Jesus, something comes along and we discover that all of a sudden we're walking off in this direction, not that direction, or we're going off in this direction, not that direction. And the scripture throughout says to us, the wise woman, the wise man will keep correcting their course. We'll keep saying, what is the Jesus way here? And in a sense, I think that has to be the defining point in asking who is in fellowship with me in the Christian faith. It seems to me the answer is those who are walking towards Jesus. It's not for me to judge that, the quality of that relationship or the exact direction, but to know that that is what we are all called to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Walk where he walks. Go where he goes. Love as he loves. Serve as he serves. Always knowing that at those times when we have wandered to the left or the right or even further away, at those times in our lives when we have become broken, sometimes through things that are nothing, that are not of our own making, illness, disease, unemployment, all those sorts of things. But sometimes we have to admit our problems are our own making. But we need to come back to him who receives us as we are, and in his forgiving love embraces us and will bless us with his healing and his wholeness. On these occasions, on the first Sunday evening in the month, we always take the opportunity to say, if you would like prayer for healing or wholeness of any kind, we don't define it narrowly, then do come forward and we will pray for you. And we will do that again this evening in a few moments. But first we'll pray. I'll start the prayer and I'll read the names of those who are on our list for prayer at the present time. We need to add to this list, of course, Betty Clark, who somehow managed to miss the bulletin, but she won't this week, I assure you. Also, we need to pray for Crispian and Marion Oates. Crispian's father died this morning at about 2 o'clock. He has been ill, and he was receiving what they call hospice at home care, but he slipped away. Unfortunately, it was a fairly short final battle, I think, and so they're down in London at the moment. Not sure when they'll be getting back, but we need to be praying for them at this time. So I'm going to pray for those, and then there will be an opportunity for you to bring anybody in need of prayer at this time. And can I just ask, what's your little one called? What's the name? Toby. Yeah, we'll pray for Toby. Toby is definitely the youngest person here tonight. He sort of was due 10 weeks ago, but was born 13 weeks ago. So, was that right? Oh, sorry, he was due 3 weeks ago and born 13 weeks ago, 10 weeks early. So this is the first time he's come to church since he was born. And it's great to see you both here with him. But we'll pray for Toby as well at this time. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we seek wisdom. But we know that true wisdom comes from you alone. And we need you to fill us with your Holy Spirit day by day so that we can remain true to you and follow you carefully and wisely. Lord, we pray for those we know and love who are in need just now. We thank you for Toby. We thank you that he's now old enough to be brought out of the house where previously he had to be sheltered because he was so vulnerable, because he was so small. But we're so glad he's here tonight. We just pray your blessing on Mum and Dad. Just pray that you would embrace them with your love and confidence and minister to them. We pray, Lord, for Crispian and Marion at this very difficult time. We pray for Crispian's mum. We pray for his brother and sister and the other members of the family. We pray that you will be with them in all the arrangements that have to be made now. And in the period of grieving and sadness that there will be. Lord, many of us have been where they are now. But let them know more than anything else that you are there with them. That you are supporting them. And that they are borne up by the prayers of your people. We pray too for Betty, who is very, very unwell with shingles at the moment, experiencing a lot of pain. We just pray for Betty and we pray for her healing. And we pray for Ken as he cares for her and looks after her. We name before you Anthea Errington, Linda Tallant, Judith Lowry, Dennis Hales and Liz, Marion's niece Mary, Brian's parents Mary and Dennis. Rebecca, Richard, Deborah, Jane Fleet, Ali, Matthew. We pray for Pete Kane as he prepares for another 6-month course of chemotherapy beginning tomorrow. Be with him, Lord, through these 6 months. And we pray also for Laura, who is undergoing chemotherapy at the moment. And we pray that you will help her to bear up. And we pray that you will be with Graham, who is trying to support her in this difficult time. Be with him. And be with Lois and Caleb too. Just protect their family, Lord. And with the funeral of her granddad only just gone, we just pray for that family. And we pray for Laura's mum, who has undergone surgery recently on her shoulder. We pray, Lord, for healing in abundance. O Lord, hear our prayer for these we name. And now, Lord, we just pray for those who are on our hearts and minds at this time. And I invite you to just name them. If you want to say a little bit about the person or the situation, please do. But also please bear in mind that it would be good if as many of us as possible could hear. So be prepared to speak out if you can.